Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study titled Shadow of Things to Come, Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study titled Shadow of Things to Come in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This is part 1 of 2. All right, Colossians 2, 16 and 17. We're going to finish our study of these two verses. We've gone slower than we do most of the time, going verse by verse. But it's because there's just some very important things in these verses that we didn't want to miss. And we are Bible Believers Fellowship. We take every word of the Bible seriously. And so we're going verse by verse, and we also don't just hop, skip, and jump through the verses. So as you'll see there in verse 17 is where we get the title. And we'll jump into that right after current events update. We do current events updates because pastors have failed to keep their congregation informed of what's going on in the world. Sadly, most Christians still go home and get their news from the fake news media, and I'm not using the term exactly the way Donald Trump does and some of the politicians do. It's been fake for 40 years. For 40 years, our news media has been run by godless people with a godless worldview. When they give you any, just listen for the tag words. Like, for example, every time they talk about science, they will always give it without any reference to God, of course, no reference to God's creation, and always to evolution and billions of years evolving from, you know, spit to what you are today. Yeah. And that's pagan. Amen. And so with that, then, every time they report on anything to do with morals, it's not biblical. That's why people have been brainwashed in this country to accept Sodom. Sodom has now become acceptable, whereas when I was a kid, they still had some brains, and they knew that the Bible condemned it. And if the Bible condemns it, God's against it, we should be too. Amen? And back in, when I was 4 years old, they decided killing babies was okay in this country. And they've been slaughtering babies by the millions ever since, every year. And the stupid Christians in this country have been silent for the most part. Even just going right along with the public education system that also has conditioned our children. I was one of them. I was conditioned. I was conditioned to believe that abortion was okay. When I actually was still pro-life at the age of, how old was I? I think I was about 12 years old in sixth grade. And I was pro-life. And my teacher told me, no, Greg, you cannot tell people that they are wrong for believing in abortion. And you can't preach that stuff you're preaching. Well, I wasn't preaching. I was just having a discussion. And then fast forward to when my children in school 10, 12, however many years ago it was, they were told they can't tell kids that being a homosexual is a sin. You have to tell that kid it's okay to be gay. So that's what's going on. And we're going to keep our current events update kind of short this morning because I want to just address one thing, and that is the death of George H.W. Bush, 94 years old, and he's passed away. You're going to hear, just like when Barbara passed away, she was the most wonderful woman in the world and all that.
Out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order can emerge, a new era. Freer from the threat of terror, stronger in the pursuit of justice, and more secure in the quest for peace.
He's preaching the gospel of Antichrist.
The nations of the world, east and west, north and south, can prosper and live in harmony 100 generations have searched for this elusive path to peace, while 1,000 wars ranged across the span of human endeavor. And today, that new world is struggling to be born. A world quite different from the one we've known. A world where the rule of law supplants the rule of the jungle. A world in which nations recognize the shared responsibility for freedom and justice. A world where the strong respect the rights of the weak. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, we will be.
We have a chance at
this new world order. An order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders. What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind. Peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law. Such is a world worthy of our struggle and worthy of our children's future. Now we can see a new world coming into view.
It's the fourth speech.
A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order. In the words of Winston Churchill, a world order in which the principles of justice and fair play protect the weak against the strong. A world where the United Nations, freed from Cold War stalemate, is poised to fulfill the historic vision of its founders.
I've had people call me a liar when I tell them that that's what he preached from the bully pulpit of the presidency. And he preached that on four different occasions. He's preaching the end of the sovereignty of the United States and our assimilation into the United Nations, a new world order, and that is going to happen. Yeah. The question is, how soon is America so apostate that they go along with it? That's the question. And back in 1991, we weren't quite there yet. And all of his promises have just, they fell flat on their face. Just yesterday on Fox News, I heard two times, they've been eulogizing him since his death. Two times they said that the reason he lost was, one said it was because of Ross Perot, that Ross Perot took 19% of the vote. The fact is, Ross Perot took as many Clinton votes as he did Bush. Ross Perot was pro-choice and very moderate, and he took a lot of votes from both of them. The second reason was because Bush had said, "Read my lips, no new taxes." I think it's just baloney. The reason why he lost is I'm one of them. I didn't vote for him against Bill Clinton in 1992. Why? I wasn't going to vote for a man preaching the New World Order. The Constitution Party was born out of that. There were several million people at least who did not vote for him, who had voted for him in 1988, did not vote for him in 1992, because I don't care what the man, Republican, Democrat, Independent, I could care less. I care about what they stand for. And when a man is preaching the Antichrist world government, he's not going to get my vote. Amen. And he's a member of an Episcopalian church. It's an apostate denomination. It's the one, and they're possibly going to break off of their international communion of Anglicans and Episcopalians because they have homosexuals in the pulpit and they're doing gay marriages in the churches. So it's a sodomite denomination that George H.W. Bush belongs to, and that's why he signed off as a witness at a lesbian wedding. So that's just the tip of the iceberg, folks. We could go into the skull and bones. We could go into things he did with the CIA. We could go into all kinds of stuff. But just remember that when you're sitting there watching the... You know what it means to be programmed?
Yeah.
It's like a computer. They program the computer. That's why they call what you watch on TV programming.
Yeah.
You're being programmed.
Yeah.
They only tell you the parts they want you to know to try to make you think the way they want you to think. Now, we're bold and brazen about it here. We're programming you. I want you to come in and get programmed by the words of this book. And even when Greg talks, if you do not find that it goes with this book, you forget about it. Whether it's me, John, Stephen, doesn't matter who it is, if it's one of your friends or relatives, I don't care if it's your mother or your grandmother, if what they say goes against this book, out. Trash it.
Amen.
You don't have to trash them.
Amen.
Just forget, you know, drop it. So we're going to see, though, what people do is they, if they don't like what the Bible says, they change it. Your NIV, your ESV, all those new versions, they are owned by people who have a copyright on it. And if you use too many of them in a book or you use too much of it on your website, they will sue you. If you take your ESV or your NIV or your Christian Standard Bible out and Xerox copy it and start handing it out, you're breaking the law. And you can be put in jail, you can be fined, you can be sued by the owners of the copyright. But your King James Bible, you can copy that till you run out of paper. No one can say a word to you. No one owns the copyright on it. And in those versions, several thousand verses have been changed or deleted in each one of those. Only your King James Bible has all those verses. That's why we only use the King James Bible here. Why? Because we're not suckers. The rest of the church today is paying somebody for their Bible. You're paying someone for permission to use their Bible. How insane is that? And it comes from a corrupt Vaticanus manuscript. So what you've got isn't even the whole Word of God. It contains some of the Word of God, but it contains error. And our King James Bible does not contain error. And that's why we stick with it. We're going to see that in our study. Yeah, Johnny, do you want to say that?
I noticed while we're listening to the speeches by George H. Bush there, noticed that he was pretty much speaking just like Satan, because all those things he said, that the reason you want the New World Order is basically stuff we already have. He's making us think we don't have it yet.
Well, there were some things he was promising we don't have, but the thing is, what he promised was things only Jesus can give us.
Right.
World peace will only come through the Prince of Peace. And you decide you're going to lay down your guns for a government, you are insane.
Amen.
In human history, every government, if you want to read the history of Soviet Union, Mao Zedong's China, it doesn't matter. Any history. You go back to even Rome. They wouldn't let the Jews have weapons that could be used to defend themselves. Go all the way back to the time of King Saul and the Philistines controlled the land and they had sword control. And they wouldn't even allow smiths like Charlie to exist there because they didn't want them to make weapons. Weapon control and gun control is always the key to controlling a populace. And once everybody will be willing to do that and submit to the government and have this one world order, well, you know what? They can have it. I believe that's going to happen after the rapture. But I want to go ahead and start. Let's get open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We do pray that Christians would open their minds and eyes and hearts and really start to understand the times in which they live. And so many Christians seek the counsel of unsaved people and it warps their thinking. And they get it mostly from the evening news, but also on the internet and other places. Lord, may we be aware of the corrupting influence of the unsaved and also professing Christians who are either frauds and fakes or they could just be deceived themselves. We have to test everything and everybody as the Bereans in Acts 17:11 by the Word of God. And so we ask, Lord, you to help us as we continue our study of your Word here in Colossians 2. With your help and the guidance and counsel of the Holy Spirit, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to read verses 16 and 17. I titled the text, Shadow of Things to Come. And we have seen that meats, drinks, holy days, new moons, and Sabbaths are not for Christians to practice, but to learn from. That's why you don't have Feast of the New Moon, and we don't observe Sabbath. Sunday is not a Sabbath. That's a false doctrine of a lot of churches. We don't push veganism and vegetarianism and any of that stuff. We're supposed to learn from what the Bible had to say about these things. So if you would, there in Colossians 2, beginning verse 16, read 16 and 17 with me. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Now, you might ask yourself after we're in our third week, closing up the study of these two verses, how do cults and legalists turn this into a mandate to judge instead of let no man judge you? You think about the brainwashing it takes. When you read right there, it says, let no man therefore judge you in meat, drink, respect of a holy day, new moon, Sabbaths, and yet all kinds of religions, all kinds of denominations, and all kinds of cults judge people on these very things. And you're like, how do they get to that point? Well, look at the end of verse 17. We're going to flip the verse on its head for a second and read the end of the verse and then go back to the beginning of verse 17. Look what it says. Now we read, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, in context of those two verses, basically what we understand is we should not be judging anybody on these matters. You go over and read Romans 14, and we're told, you know, that we have to be careful, and we want to let God be the one to bring someone to judgment on a questionable issue. In other words, you may think a certain song, a certain show, a certain movie, a certain place that, you know, any place. For example, I know some people who say they live out in Nevada, so they go to the casinos. They don't gamble, but they go there because the food's cheap. Amen. And I've heard other people say, well, I just don't think you're still supporting that whole industry and blah, blah, blah. You know what? I don't live near Las Vegas, so I don't know. But we have a couple casinos here now. The wicked state of Ohio, who just reelected Sherrod Brown, gave us casinos. It won't be long, they'll legalize pot and who knows what else. Ohio is wicked. And so now we have these. You go down, I go to visit mom and dad. I pass what used to be the Soda Downs. And do they call that something else now? And then there's Hollywood Casino. What?
El Dorado.
El Dorado. He's probably frequently there. But I'm just kidding. just a witness, right? Now, if you go on the west side, isn't this where Hollywood Casino is? West side? Put it in one of the poorest neighborhoods in the, you know, so they can keep them even more poor. That's what they do. And that's what they do. Huh?
I deliver milk
there. Yeah. He delivers milk there. So if you see him going in and out of the casino, that's his story and he's sticking to it. But anyway, I wouldn't be going over there to eat their food. I suppose they do the same thing. They probably give cheap.
It's not cheap.
It's not? Well, then there's no way I'm going to eat there. Yeah. But let's say it was. You want to go there? I'm not going to condemn you for it, but as far as I'm concerned, I have no desire to go there, Nate. You been there? Yeah? 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 Yeah. Now, that's a good point right there. Now, I'm telling you what a lot of preachers do right now is just get right on it. The Holy Spirit's moving me to preach on Tracy. Yeah. That's what they do.
I ain't spent a dime in there.
Well, except for the food, right?
Oh, well, honey food is right.
But listen, that's why I don't preach that stuff and I don't condemn you for it. Because that's between you and the Lord. Now, if I really thought there was something horrible about that, Tracy'd be on my prayer list. Not on my gossip list, and not on my sermon title list. But there are times where I thought, well, Lord, I don't know about that, but you know what? That's between you and them, and I just pray if they're wrong, you help them. And if I'm wrong, you help me. But Sean, what was you going
to... Yeah, I was just going to say, as far as the cheap deal goes, I remember in the 1980s, I went to Las Vegas, and it was just $1. You could get the all-you-can-eat buffet.
That's worth it.
Great deal. I was telling Joyce about this, like over 25 years later, we go out there again. Those places were gone. It was expensive. The reason why was because the mafia used to run all those casinos, and they gave you the deals. But when the, I guess when the political politics and all that came into it.
Must be knowing where to go, because I still see people online saying they get cheap food out there.
Really?
Yeah.
There's none to be found out there in Las Vegas, I can tell you that.
Well, you want to bet?
Oh, no, no.
But the point is, we're told in verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in, and it lists these things. And then it ends by saying, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, I want you to see how slick the cults are. You see it in the new versions, anytime you want to pick one up and look at it. But this is taught from the pulpits of these churches and these people. Like Satan, and I mean that literally, they delete one two-letter word in the verse. You go back to Genesis 3, what three-letter word did Satan delete? Not. God hath not. Thou shalt not eat. He deletes the word not. Thou shalt eat. And then he questioned, hath God said? That's how he does it. He puts doubt in your mind, and he deletes even sometimes just two or three-letter words, and he's totally changed it. This is what they do in their teaching. Now, in the new versions, they change it so much it's almost recognizable. They say something about, and the substances of Christ or something. In their footnotes, they even admit, literally, its body is of Christ. Even in their footnotes in the new versions, they admit that they changed the Word of God. And this is what they do in the cults and the legalists. They'll say, well, a better translation would be, well, in the Greek, I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to pretend I know Greek. You don't know any better, because I've probably got a certificate on my wall that says I graduated from Bible college or seminary. So you probably think I know Greek. Actually, all I've done is read it in another book and then pretended that I learned it on my own when I teach it to you. That's what preachers do.
Amen.
That's all they're doing, folks. All these guys, they don't know Greek. And I'm talking about the guys who took it in seminary. Went 4 extra years and spent an extra $50,000 or $100,000. They still don't know Greek.
Amen.
They take a book off the thing, their shelf, called a lexicon. Some of them just use the old Strong's and go to the dictionary and Strong's. And they pretend that they know what they're talking about. And they don't. And I'm here to tell you, those lexicons, Satan has corrupted them.
Amen.
You know how they... Back in the 19th century, Cruden's came out with a dictionary, and he based it on what the Bible definitions were. Fast forward into the 20th century, you know what they did with those lexicons? They changed the meanings of the words in those lexicons when they dug up, and I'm not making this up, they dug up trash. They literally dug up garbage and found... In Egypt, where it's nice and dry, things are buried in sand, protected from the sun, and then they dig them up. And so here's somebody's love letter dating back close to the time of the New Testament in Greek. And so then they use a word. You get mad at me if you want. I'm just going to give you this is for adults, those of you who are mature enough to be able to stand a little truth pill here for a second. You know what my grandma called a cat? Do you know what my grandma called a cat? What they now use as slang for a woman's private part. Now, my grandma still, up until she passed away, I'm talking about my grandma Jordan, love her, miss her, but she used to call the cat by that name. And I'm going to be so sensitive to y'all right now, I'm not even going to say the word because I think you know what it is, and I don't want to seem like I'm trying to be dirty. She would say, "Ooh, look at the little." And everybody would... Why is she saying that word? Yeah. Well, because in her generation, that's what they called a cat. But the filthy pagans took that word and turned it into something dirty. Well, that's exactly what they're doing to your Bible. They're taking words that in the Bible mean one thing, but in the filthy love letter out of the Egyptian garbage heap, they use the way it was used in that document to change the lexicon, the dictionary, and then they use the dictionary to change your Bible. They are literally turning the Bible into garbage. And people want to say, "Oh, you King James Bible believers, you're so ignorant. You just don't know what you're talking about. You don't know anything about the manuscript evidence. And you don't know anything about textual science. And you've never read the great textual scholars through the years. And if you had, you didn't understand what you did." That's how they act. And the reality is, they're the ignoramuses.
Amen.
They don't even know where they're getting the information that they use to change your Bible. And that's behind this. They found some garbage and claimed that they should go by that instead of the King James Bible. And then others just try to play like they know the Greek. And in the Greek, the word isn't really there. Well, see, they're lying.
Amen.
Because the word is there. They just don't have the exact equivalent. But the word is there in the form that you read the word. And so if you knew Greek while you're reading the word, you'd see that it has the sense of is the body of Christ. And that's why our King James translators, all of whom knew Greek better than any single person alive today,
amen,
told you the text says, but the body is of Christ. So instead of reading the body is of Christ, they teach, it says, but the body of Christ. So, and I call that the satanic perversion of the text. In other words, read it like this. Let no man therefore judge you, but the body of Christ.
Ooh.
See how that slick little game? Amen. And the body just happens to be the cult.
Yep.
Ah. Isn't that wild? So they totally changed the meaning of the text. And they say, well, let no man judge you, but the body is of Christ. So the body is to judge you. Therefore, we have a list here. Here's your list. If you want to be in good graces with the cult, here's your list.
Yep. Right. That's exactly.
And you better keep the list. Because like Santa Claus, we've got a list and we're checking it twice. Going to find out who's naughty or nice. And if you're naughty, you get kicked out of the cult. And you've been brainwashed into thinking you have to be a part of that cult to go to heaven. So then that's how they torture you. Because you don't keep the list, they kick you out and you think you're going to hell. Yeah, it's real slick. Yeah. Satan started in Genesis 3. And if you look close at Genesis 3. One time, Mike Kaler and I sat down there. One time we were all by ourselves having Bible study. And we just sat in Genesis 3 and just dissected that and made a list of all the little things and big things that Satan did in Genesis 3 to trick Eve.
And it, for solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.